God called us to a body. There's no Lone Rangers, you know, in the kingdom. We're all members of something bigger than we are. And we cannot actually realize who we are except within the body context. Isn't that true? We discover who we are in the context of the body. If a finger is disconnected and it's over here somewhere, it's not going to know its purpose, amen, until it's connected to the body. And then it begins to function in that place. So it's God's idea for the local assembly. And I pray, and we need to pray. In fact, I'd like us to pray right now. There's lots of people throughout this city that are disconnected from the body of Christ, who are believers, but they've been disconnected. Maybe they've been hurt in church. And I want you to really pray with heart and fervency and thanksgiving with me in agreement. Amen. There's prayer and agreement. Father God, we thank you in Jesus' name for the will of God for our lives. We thank you that you have made known to us, Lord, what it is that you have called us to do. And that one of those things, Lord, is to pray and to invoke heaven's influence in the earth realm. And so, Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray right now, God, hallelujah, that you will move sovereignly in this city tonight. Holy God, we pray that you would move by your Holy Spirit. Lord, just hover over this city tonight. Come, Lord, dispatch your angels, Lord, over this city tonight and touch every person in this city, God. We pray, hallelujah, the fear of God will come upon every soul, every man, woman, boy, and girl in this city will come under the fear of God. Their eyes will be open to see their poverty and their need. Oh God, of your mercy, of your grace, Father, for those who have disconnected from your body, we pray, send your spirit, send conviction upon them and bring understanding to them, bring healing to them, God. Help them to know they're also going to find their healing within the body, God. In the name of Jesus, draw these people from the north, the south, the east, and the west back into the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Revive us, Lord. You know, the Lord was contented to do the Father's will because he knew that that was his purpose in life, is to serve his Father. And likewise, we are also called to serve our Father, our Heavenly Father. And as believers, we're called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We are actually to become like him. He's always Lord. He's head of his church. But we want to be conformed into his image. And we want to follow his example and live as he lived in this world. And when I look at my life, I see a distance between Jesus and where I am right now. And if we're honest, all of us can say that tonight. We can say, yeah, there's this gap between what God is calling me to and where I'm at right now. And see, we need to have that kind of humble heart. See, I'm so humble, I'm proud of myself now. But we need to have that humble attitude about where we really stand as far as what God's expectation is and where we're at. But not in a sense where we become discouraged because we're not all that, but that we know that we're just a work in progress and God is faithful. He's begun a good work in us. He's faithful to complete it. And we need to be patient in the process, patient with ourselves, but patient with one another. Amen. That doesn't mean that we justify ourselves in where we're at. It means that we need to get our eyes off of ourselves. Yeah. Our problem too often is that we are self-conscious. If we are self-conscious, we cannot be effective ministers. Because in order to follow Jesus, we have to be Christ-centered. Amen? Christ-conscious. We need to be conscious of the fact that Christ is in us and that he is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when we're self-conscious, we cannot minister. When we are self-conscious, we get into the self-service mode. And so then we come with expectation of being served, rather than being equipped so that we can serve. When we come together, it is for equipping, for service. There are times when we need help. We need the body. We need that part that is healthy to minister to that part that is sickly. There's times in my life when I've been sickly. How about you? And I've needed brothers and sisters and somebody else to reach out to. Without them becoming my Savior. But what we want to do is we want to point people to the Savior. Amen. Not become their Savior. The problem is we do sometimes put ourselves in that position and we take on more than we could ever handle. We can't fix anybody. Only God can do that. But we know somebody who can, and we need to constantly be pointing people in the right direction and listen to what God would say through us. So I want to begin tonight with this message. It's called Why Serve Others? Quickly, if you'd turn to Philippians chapter 2, you know this very well, but I want us to use this as a foundation tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And the reason why we keep looking at the scriptures is because we have to remind ourselves constantly or we forget. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but, verse 7, made himself of no reputation. Is that easy for us to do? It's not. Naturally, we are full of ourselves. So we have to have the mind of Christ in making ourselves of no reputation, doing what? Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those things in heaven, those things on earth, and of those things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You may have the question, well, God, what is your will? Well, it is God who is working in you both to will and to do. Where is your passion at? What are you cut out for? So why use my life to serve others? Number one, I am created for that purpose. We were created to serve. I'm here for a reason. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for beforehand that we should walk in them. In the Amplified, it says it this way, Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So I'm created for service. Number two, I am saved for service. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. You see, we get in trouble because we, again, get into our own works, and these are dead works. Dead works are works that you do independent of Christ. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So again, a reminder, we're not working to be saved, but we are saved to work. Come on, somebody say it. We are saved to work.
We are saved to work.
Yeah. If I'm in Christ, I have been gifted for service. Is Christ in you? Then you have been gifted for service. God didn't give me a talent to waste on myself. We are entrusted with a stewardship. So whatever you have received from God, you are responsible for to go and be faithful with. Amen? To reproduce, to increase that which He's given to you. Through steps of obedience, through faithful obedience daily, even in little things that God calls us to do. Sometimes, again, we're asking God for the big thing, but we're not busy with the little thing. We're not faithful with the little thing, but we want the big thing. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And we see that tonight, right, as we gather and as the Lord works through us. But use these gifts that God gives us. Use them well to serve others. We are to be stewards of this manifold grace of God. We are not to receive the grace of God in vain. So, number four, I'm commanded by the Lord to serve others. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26. Yet it shall not be among you. Jesus was talking to the disciples who were arguing who was going to be the greatest, you know, in the kingdom. And he talked about how the worldly system works and how people, they're looking for position and title and notoriety. And he's saying, guys, listen, you're totally missing it. It doesn't work that way in the kingdom. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Jesus was a servant leader. Amen. He is Lord, and He gave us an example through His life. Verse 27, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many, let this mind be in you. You see, the mind of Christ and the attitude of heart that, Lord, I'm here to serve. I'm not here to make a name for myself. I'm here to make Jesus famous. And if I'm faithful with whatever He's entrusted to me, to be a good steward over that, the day comes when God rewards you and He promotes you. Whether you see it in this world or not, if you're faithful, if you're living by faith, you're going to live for that which will be. Amen? And in some cases, you'll see the fruit in this life, but in other cases, it will follow after if you've been faithful. Think about what Abraham is still receiving today because he believed God. We're the recipients, amen? He was the father of that promise that through him there would be a seed, the Messiah, Jesus. And because he believed God, God had counted that to him as righteousness, amen? And considered him a friend. God likes it when we believe him. Simply believe what he says. Serving is a sign I belong to Christ. That's number five. Because when Jesus saves us, he gets another pair of eyes, another pair of hands, another pair of feet, amen? Another heart to love people because we're the body of Christ. And we're his extension. He's the head in the heaven, amen? And we're the body representing him in the earth realm. And we have to work together again as a team. Not in competition, but each one acknowledging or knowing and understanding their place, their purpose in the body, and being okay with however God has gifted you. Because you're not going to be rewarded for what you did, again, out of yourself with ambition or because you saw somebody else do something and you just wanted to copy them, you know, but because you had heard God's voice and you were willing to take the form of a servant. You know, I believe there's going to be some people that have cleaned some toilets in life that are going to have a high estate in heaven because they were willing to serve and do the mundane tasks. They were willing to, you know, to help people who were down and out. They were willing to get their hands dirty to minister to people. You know, Jesus said, when I was sick or when I was hungry, and they have a servant's heart. And they understood that this world is not our permanent home. We're actually giving our lives now. We're serving now with expectation that someday God's going to call us to his table. And we're going to sit down with him. And he's going to know who you are. Because when I was hungry, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? You see, when we serve others, we're serving the God who we don't see. Because we were made in his image. Serving is a sign I belong to Jesus. Romans 7 and verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, See, it's not works of our own righteousness as a means of justification with God. It's impossible. How good is good enough, right? It's impossibly good enough. Simply, we receive forgiveness. We receive mercy. We receive grace. And we're faithful stewards of what we receive. And what we receive, we give. And what you give, you don't lose. You know, even if somebody takes advantage of someone who has a giving heart, God sees their heart. He says, through the body of Christ, we've been dead to the law, that you may be married to another in relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. To him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. My Father finds delight in what? That we bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, Jesus said. That we bear fruit. So what does fruit do? I mean, think about it in a natural sense. Fruit nourishes. It refreshes. It builds up. It builds up others. If you don't eat fruit, you'll be messed up. Amen? And so bearing fruit means we're distributing fruit. Amen? Which is the grace of God. We're distributing it to others. And as we sow, we shall reap. And we're not, Galatians 6:9, to become weary in doing that, because we know what? In God's appointed season, just like nature has a season for everything that grows, if you're faithful, even when you don't see the instant results, but you know and you believe God's word, that your purpose is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to serve others. God delights in that. Amen? It delights the Father when we are nourishing and building up one another. But it grieves the Father when we tear each other down. Sixthly, my church family needs my service too. Let's talk about the body of Christ. We need servants. Amen? What we're doing, folks, is not just some kind of, we're playing some kind of game. Now, I know that there are churches that are doing that. They're just going through some kind of formality week after week, you know. But if we're authentic followers of Jesus, we understand the purpose of the body of Christ assembling together to be a habitation of God in the Spirit, to release the grace of God, to nourish and to build up one another in the faith. And that's how it's supposed to work. I can give you some, but I can't give you everything. It requires the body of Christ working together. And we have to be able to trust, to allow people the opportunity to serve. Amen? And to step out. And I have to be willing to delegate with a certain oversight, of course. Once we know and we establish who we are below the surface in relationship, then there is this freedom that will be released. Amen? The problem is that sometimes we're too quick, you know, to jump into things. And also, when people come into a body, if I visit a church, I go in there and I figure out, okay, what are these people like, you know, and they got a dress code. I can honor that. You know, I don't want to be disrespectful. It's not like it's a law. I have to wear a suit and tie. But if I go to a suit and tie church, you know, out of respect for them, if that's what they require, then I'll wear a suit and tie. You'll probably never catch me in a suit. No, I'm just kidding. No, you know what I'm saying? Because some people, their conviction is that we as kings and priests are representing the King of Kings. And so therefore, we're going to wear a suit and tie, you know. But that's okay if you have the money to buy a suit and tie. Amen. And it's not about the clothing. We know that. God looks upon the heart. And that's how we are here. That's the way we look at it. It's like you come as you are, but just be modest. Amen. Just keep yourself covered up. I don't care. And we prefer that you take a bath. But if somebody comes in off the street and they're off the street and they haven't had a bath, we're going to love them and embrace them and welcome them, right? Because that's why we're here. And that's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm one of them. And so we're going to reach out and we're going to love people as they come in. But we're going to be cautious until we develop a relationship with that person. and to know whether they can be entrusted with responsibility within the local assembly. That's just good stewardship. Amen. Why? Because this church, I'm talking about the people, has been purchased with the blood of Jesus. And so my responsibility is great because you belong to Him and not to me. Right? Sometimes pastors forget that. But, you know, we are to make disciples, but we are not to own any. And so you belong to Jesus. And so my responsibility is to equip you. Amen. For the work of service, the work of the ministry. And you know what? I also get equipped by you as well. I receive nourishment from you as well. People speak into my life. People share with me. And I have to remain teachable and a servant. Even as a leader, I'm a servant leader. So let's look at this. Sometimes we get this idea that we're not necessary. You know, folks, I mean, sometimes I feel seriously when I get into crowds or around certain groups or people, I just feel like I'm the least, you know, like they're not going to choose me. They're not going to pick me for the team. You know, you ever feel that way sometimes? Yeah. Do you know David was kind of like that, wasn't he? He was just a little squirt out there taking care of sheep, you know. And all the handsome big guys come up through the lineup and no, that's not Samuel. Say, no, that ain't it. And then is that all you have? Well, there is one little guy out here taking care of the sheep. He probably smells like sheep. Bring him in. And God says, that's the one. You understand? That's how God works. He says, you know what? You know, you're too polished. I'm just going to get this person. I'm going to scrape him off the sidewalk. I'm going to put my spirit in them, and I'm going to raise them up, and I'm going to make them a world changer. And people say, huh, isn't this the carpenter's son? That's how they thought about Jesus, you know. They said, isn't this the carpenter's son? The people are expecting to come as reigning king. And they couldn't connect with the fact that he was just an average Joe. Yeah. Sometimes God chooses, you know, white-collar people, of course. You know, he chooses people from all echelons of life, you know, because they're able to connect with their peers, you know, and the people that they're with. And I see that when we get together as ministers, there's different churches in town here, you know, some of them, they're more of the white collar church and they're going to have a little, maybe different style of worship and all that. It's okay as long as it's led of the Spirit. That's what I say. It doesn't have to look like us, you know, and thank God we don't have to look like anybody else. I didn't say them, but anybody else. We can just be who we are and be okay with that. And in growing up, that was my thing, is I was always trying to be like this person because I didn't like who I was. Or really, it's because I didn't know who I was. So you just start trying to, you know, figure out who you are by you hang out with this group for a while and then, well, that didn't work. And I'll be with this clique for a while. And finally, you grow up and you say, you know, I don't have to do any of that. I'm okay. God wants me the way I am. If I'm not who I am, the world's going to miss who I am because I'm trying to be somebody else. All right. 1 Corinthians 12:27 is a good scripture for this. We are members of the body of Christ and members individually. Now, number 7, let me just say this. Serving others is the way we serve God. A lot of people say, I want to serve God. And they're just thinking about some kind of like, you know, polished, high profile, you know, driving Cadillac, wearing the best suits, having all the bells and the whistles and the big following. And they're thinking that's, you know, that's serving God. You know, some of those guys are serving themselves. Amen. But serving God is just serving each other. When I serve you, you're a member of His body. So as I serve you, I'm serving Christ. See how that works? We're to serve all people, but especially the body of Christ. Because the church is where Jesus has got His eye. We are the apple of His eye, folks. He is very much interested in the health and well-being of this, what He purchased with His blood. That it would be healthy, that it would be built up, that she'd be united in the faith and in love. And that we would be made presentable to Him in that day. Because the grace of God has worked through the body, amen, through the diversity of the body, ministering to each member what was lacking, so that we all grow up into Him. It's impossible for us to grow healthy and to grow full as an individual separated from the body. Think about it. It's no different. Think about your own body. If you're separated, what happens is you atrophy, right? You cut a finger off, it's not going to last very long. Amen? It needs to be connected to the body. Now, sometimes what we have to differentiate between it is, are we talking about church meetings? Or are we talking about fellowship? See, we can have church meetings, you know, we can have congregational meetings, but never have fellowship. What God desires is when we come together to have fellowship. Fellowship is me bowing my soul to another. When I bow my soul to you and you bow your soul to me, we meet in that place. It's a sweet spot where we're not competing, you know, but we're understanding that we're all part of this together. We're family. And sometimes it's no different than our natural relatives. Sometimes your family irritates you. Sometimes we get into it, and sometimes we get hurt, you know. But understand this. The worst thing we can do is when we get hurt, and I've done this in my life, is disconnect from the body. Why? Because the healing is in the body. The blood flows through the body. So the devil wants to get people offended. He's offended me in the past. And I got to the point where I didn't want to go to any church because I was offended, and I go into the next church and all I could do is find fault with it because I was actually the one who was wounded and bitter. I was becoming bitter. Ever been there? But God's healing. He's restoring. And He does it within the context of the body. Do you see how the devil, he's tricky. He comes up and he tells us, well, you just need to, it's all about you anyways, right? No. No. See, if we're full of us, then we're more susceptible to being hurt. Ouch. Yeah, yeah. If I'm self-conscious, guess what? You're setting yourself up. So I've gone to ministers' meeting, and sometimes I just get a little bit self-conscious. Sure enough, somebody's going to not shake my hand or, you know, rub me the wrong way or make a comment or whatever. Or just we can get to the point where if we're really self-centered and self-focused and self-conscious, that people can even look at you and you just think they're against you. You ever been there? You come to church sometimes and it's like nobody's paying attention. Nobody shook your hand. Nobody seemed, you're like alone in the crowd. That's when you know what you have to say. You say, it ain't about me. I'm here to love you. I'm here to serve you. I'm not here to be served, but I'm here to serve you. And you turn that around and you live in what's called agape love, unidirectional love. For God so loved the world. The world was in rebellion. An enemy of God. Amen? But God so loved the world. That's what it takes for healing and restoration and reconciliation is to be agape. To love that way. And understand that when we come here, I'm here for you. I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. There's times when we need help. But see, if we're all, listen to this, if we're all living to serve and we're here for each other, we will recognize that. We will discern someone who's going through it, amen, and needs some nourishment, needs some grace. And when somebody blows it, thank God there's a thing called grace. Amen? Oh, man, if it wasn't for grace, toast. I can't say I love God if I never serve others. That means at home, at work, church, wherever. Now, Paul was talking in regards to servants here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And I want us to look at it in this sense, in regards to servants as employees, okay, and towards their masters as employers. Whatever you do, he says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And then, in other words, when I serve you, I'm actually serving Jesus. Amen? And let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. You know what? We have a good church, and we have, well, if we could do a comparison, I think we have a good percentage of people that serve here. You know, they say, well, 20% does 80% of the work. Is that what they say? Who's they anyways? But you know what? We don't have to accept that. How about flipping that around? Amen. I'd like to see 100%. You know, and of course, it doesn't always mean just doing something in the church. It just does mean, though, ministering to the body of Christ wherever the body's found. Amen. And the people that are pre-Christians that Christ shed his blood for as well. When they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Number 8, I serve because I owe everything to Christ. Romans 12:1, you can quote this. I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's, folks, it's based, another translation says, based upon everything that God did for you, you should be serving others. Amen. You present yourself to God as a servant. Become a servant, and you will be great. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? Those who serve. So don't become weary in well-doing if you're serving already in some capacity. You know, just because you have a bad day or it doesn't go your way or it gets tough, anytime you're doing the work of the Lord, there's going to be opposition. You'll have bad days. You know, there's some days that I just want to walk away. But God knows how to prepare a big fish, if I do such a thing. So, but I delight to do the will of God. I really do. I delight to serve my Lord out of appreciation, out of gratitude for what he's done in my life. He's forgiven me much. I love him much. And I want to serve him now for the rest of my days. And, you know, it's a joy to serve you, because I know that when I serve you, I'm serving the Lord. And the Lord keeps me refreshed as I give to you. As you give to others, God keeps you refreshed. If we don't serve, we will dry up. Amen. And it's not he's not a hard taskmaster. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's not, don't look for the great big, oh, I got to do all. It's like, Lord, hey, what can we do together today? You know, what's my assignment today? Oh, you put somebody on my heart. Give them a call. Pray for them. You know, maybe reach out to somebody that's in need. Whatever God will put on your heart to do. Every one of us has a different assignment in any given day. But if we're faithful in the little assignments, the little things, God will make us ruler of much. And I serve. 9, because service makes life meaningful. If I'm going to give my life to something, it might as well be something that's going to last. You know, too many times and too many years of my life I spent on vanity and pride, you know, and serving myself, which amounted to zero. So as we are walking with Jesus, we will bear fruit, because apart from him, we can do zero. Amen. And what I do that's just, I think, what I think is a good idea, again, is what? A dead work. So I want to know the mind of Christ. As we pray and we ask and we believe, God will make it clear. And check it out. This is how it works. Once again, He's going to just tell you to do something very, maybe menial. You know, the church needs the toilets cleaned. The grass needs to be cut, you know. We need somebody to serve in that nursery. Oh, those screaming Nemes in there. Some people are really cut out for that. Not everybody's called to the nursery. But what is God calling you? I think there's people that are supposed to be in there that aren't because they don't want to inconvenience themselves. See, what we do willingly. We do joyfully. We get to do this. And we want to do this. Why? Because we want to bless the Lord. We don't put people on a guilt trip, amen, to do something at church. In fact, I try very hard not even to ever put anybody on a guilt trip for not coming to church. But what I will do is I will talk to them about the importance of it. And that it is God's idea and God's design. Amen. And even coming here tonight, folks, I mean, I don't know, but maybe there's someone that here just denied that other voice that said, you know, I don't know if I really want to go out tonight. It's dark out there. It's a little cold or whatever the excuse might be, or my favorite show's on television. You know, you can waste yourself and waste the precious moments you've been given when there's an opportunity here to come and to cross-pollinate with the body, to receive nourishment and also to be able to nourish somebody else. Remember these things because this is why we're called. This is why we're saved. This is why we were created, and that is to serve. And if we're not serving, we're not serving. Amen. We've got to serve somewhere. And if you're going to spend your life on something, it might as well be on something worthwhile, such as the kingdom, which is eternal. So you'll have fruit in heaven. And that's why I can't come into a church, even if I'm not pastoring, I just can't come in there and sit. Soak and sour, because you'll sour. You know, if you're just coming to receive without a heart to give, you'll become stagnant real fast. And then you just kind of like dwindle away and fall away because, well, I ain't getting anything out of that. No, and you won't because your heart attitude is wrong. I come to give. I come to bless. I come to serve. I come to, what can I do for you? Because do you know when you benefit, it benefits me. Why? Because we're the same body. Amen? When we're all healthy and we're walking where we should, man, our meetings are wonderful, aren't they? When we get together and we just let the walls down and we open up to Jesus and we worship, it's beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful than the body of Christ, just as a habitation of God, and the grace of God is just lavished through His people. Mark chapter 8, verse 35, almost finished here. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And we know what that means, doesn't it? Yeah, we're here to give and to serve. To give our lives away. And what you give away for Christ, you won't lose. I have this saying in my office. I quote it a lot, but only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always. What does it say? Always. That means at all times. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I looked up that word abounding, and it means to superabound in quantity and quality. Be in excess. Be superfluous. To cause superabound or excel. To superabound or excel. More abound, be more abundant, enough and to spare. Exceed, excel, increase, over and above. always, at all times, abound, superabound, excessively in what? The work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wow. If we can get a hold of this, you know, and live this, let it get deep down into your spirit, amen, to change your understanding and your perspective, your heart, so that we understand that, hey, sometimes things become maybe a little routine, or, you know, we just get used to doing something, but your labor is never in vain in the Lord. You know, that I was sitting, I'm just going to finish with this, kind of mulling over some things, and sometimes, you know, you get frustrated because you sow and you give and you bless and you help and you teach, and then sometimes you just feel like, man, you know, certain people are just not getting it, or they're, and I was kind of sitting there, you know, kind of festering a little bit with that, and all of a sudden I get a text message, and it was that verse. So God is good, and He reminds us, you know, of the importance of just not being weary, not giving up, keep serving.